about you this morning, but I just feel a heaviness of the presence of God. That's not a negative heaviness, but just the weightiness of the presence of God in this place. But you know, God's with us at every single moment. Times when we sense His presence, other times where we might be thinking, Lord, where are you? He's with us all the time. We just need to be looking, we just need to be seeking, because if we seek Him, then we'll find Him when we seek Him with all of our hearts, the Scripture says. We're thinking of what Father God wants to speak into our hearts from John chapter 1. And we're thinking this morning about the light of life, the light of life that is Jesus. Have you ever found yourself in a dark and an uncomfortable position that's not the nicest, that's not the best? I'm going to tell you about a night where it was rather uncomfortable for me. September 2012, Heather and I were asked by Elam International Missions to go and visit Haiti. And to visit the missionary who used to be my associate pastor in Clydebank, to go and visit her. But it was quite a speedily arranged trip. We were asked in the 30th of August, 1st of September, and we were flying out on the 14th of September. So it was really, really quickly arranged, and there was no time for vaccinations or those kind of things, or anti-malarial tablets. It was just almost kind of pack your suitcase. Can we organize your trip, your church diary that would enable you to be able to go and to head out there? And we did. And remember, Haiti was a place that had been devastated by a massive earthquake, and really half of the Port-au-Prince had just slid into the sea, and people were living in tents. And Becky, who worked with me, she went to help with Elam International Missions and to work out there. And so we were invited to go and to see what was going on there and what was happening. And we were only there for a couple of days, but I've got to say that the last night in Haiti was a really, really uncomfortable one. Now, it was the early hours of Tuesday, the 18th of September, 2012. It was etched in my mind for a couple of reasons. You know, my legs were sore with mosquito bites. One, two, three. That's not enough. Is the picture? That's a mighty leg. No, I won't. I had 200 mosquito bites on my legs. I had 120 bites on my hands as I went. You know, my legs were sore, mosquito bites. The room was hot and sticky. Now, this was not the Hilton Hotel that we were in. It was made of chipboard and had a corrugated roof. The air conditioning was if you opened the door and let the heat in. There was a fan that was in the room. Then, you know, every so often, the diesel generator power would just dip, so the fan would stop. And then you'd begin to hear the whining of the generator kicking in, and then the fan would begin to go again. There was a little gecko, the little lizard type things. There was one of them scurrying and crawling across the wall and the roof that was calling out as well. The mosquito net was touching me. We'd brought a mosquito net, but it really didn't fit where it should have. And that was probably part of the reason why I was getting the bites that I'd got. And to make matters worse, I was thirsty. Now, you know, when you're in a dark, hot, sticky situation and you're thirsty, that all of a sudden your tongue gets stuck to the roof of your mouth. Some of you are probably wishing that was the case for me right now. But the room that we were in didn't have any clean drinking water in it that we'd have been able to. You know, it was all right for washing your hands and face, but we didn't have any drinking water. So I had to go out to the other room. So, you know, I'm not in the best place and best frame of mind. I'm hot, I'm tired, I'm grumpy, I'm kind of giving it, God, why have you got me here? You know, and doing that. And I had to go to the other room. It's pitch black outside, and I had to go to the other building to where the fridge and the freezer was and to get some water, avoiding the holes that were there that initially I'd thought that's where there were, you know, big tent pegs that had been there, but actually they were tarantula nests in the holes where the tarantula spiders were. I know, see, it's like Paul's missionary journeys, isn't it? I was only there for 3 days. I have to say, 3 or 4 days, and then traveling. And as I went to get a drink, two of the most majestic sights met me. There were two fireflies that were dancing. Don't know if you've ever seen a firefly go, and there's this tiny, tiny little flies that their back end just is neon and filled with light. And when the light's on in the room, you don't see them. Then the moment that the light was off, you could just see them buzzing about, and it's like a light show that's just going and flying about. It was amazing. And the other thing is, I was looking at them and saw them flying about, that I saw the most brilliant night sky. There was no normal lights, we call them street lights here, don't we? There was no street lights or anything that was there to almost dim down what was being seen from above. You could just see this canopy of the stars and all of their constellations that was shining bright, shining against the backdrop of the night sky that was an inky, inky black that was there, undiluted by the city lights. In a moment, I became truly and fully alive. You know, that any sense of tiredness, any sense of grumpiness, I mean, some of you find that hard to believe that I would be grumpy, don't you? Okay, thank you. You know, diminished in a moment, and all of a sudden, I was truly and fully alive. I was inspired by what I saw. And you know, whether it was the small light or whether it was the distant light, it had an effect on me. All those symptoms that I had of were causing me pain, the circumstances, the surroundings, the way, the things that were going on in my life, my condition, all of a sudden, in a minute, faded away. I was captivated by the lights that I saw, lights that were close and lights that were far. I've already mentioned Psalm 119, verse 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." One of the things that struck me about the fireflies was when you only see the benefit of the firefly when you're in darkness. And you can only understand that the stars and their constellations, see them in all their beauty and majesty when you see them without any other source of light that might actually take it away. And it's thought about our faith in those moments, because some of us feel, well, what can I do? What can little old me do when in the darkness of our society and the world that we live in that is just thick with sin and so such a dark place and darkness that's there? What can I do? Well, maybe it's a firefly faith that you feel that you've got. But when you're in that dark place, you know that you are shining. You know that you can make a difference. Or maybe it's that sense of being inspired this morning by galaxies of glory. You know, looking up and seeing, wow, this is the world that our Creator made. This is the world that God made. And He made all of this. He's Lord God Almighty, yet He's my Heavenly Father who loves me completely. Maybe it is that sense of His Word being the lamp to our feet where, you know, it shines in the middle of the darkness saying, what can I do? You could get your nose in the Word. We've already had it. It's our rescue guide, isn't it? It shows us where we're going to be. But if we find out what the Word of God wants to say and speak into our life, it's going to show us the pathway that we should walk on. It's going to show us, excuse me, you know, where the enemy's pitfalls around about are going to be and where the potholes are going to be that might cause us to drop down to damage ourselves. It's going to flood some light just down as to where our feet are going to go. And you're saying, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to get through life? How am I going to make it this week? What good can I do for the kingdom of God? Well, you can get His Word into your life. Why? It can shine through. It's going to show you where you should go. It's going to show you who you should go to. It's going to give you the words to speak. When you find yourself in those dark situations, that the Word that is light and that is a lamp is going to shine and flood into other people's lives through your life. I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against it, the Word says. So it's in your heart because it's going to flood light. Where there's a pothole, oh, I'm going to go around it. If you're driving your car and you see one of those dirty great potholes that sometimes happens in roads, are you going to head towards it? Guys, are you going to head towards it? No, what are you going to do? You're going to give it a body swerve, aren't you? You're going to turn the car and you're going to go around it. Why? Because if your car goes into that pothole, you risk damage. You risk having to pay for something, don't you? There is a cost that's going to be involved in going down into that pothole. You're going to cause yourself damage, or you're going to just contribute to something serious. And we need to make sure that in the potholes of life, that the Word of God is shining. Yeah? At the same time, you know, we want to remember the big picture. Stars that are shining. Of the God who created all this world, and the God who is with you, the God who is for you. And John, as he writes in John chapter 1, he writes in verse 4 of John chapter 1, it says this, speaking of the Word, who we know as Jesus. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to that, testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus is the light who came from heaven down to earth. Jesus is the light of the world. And his mission is to banish darkness. Banish the darkness of sin. Banish the darkness of pain. Banish the darkness of frustration with his forgiveness, with healing, with peace. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, God's first spoken creative word was to bring forth light. And we are told two things about it. That it was good, or glorious, or glory-filled, and that light was separated from darkness. That it was different from darkness, that it was the opposite of darkness, that light dispels darkness. So whether you feel as though that you're like one of those stars that's burning bright in the galaxy right now in your faith, and it's illuminating into other people's situations, or whether you feel as though you're like a tiny firefly of your faith right now that just is just about giving enough to capture people's attention, to draw them out of that place and situation of sin, of darkness that they find themselves. It doesn't really matter in one sense. But you need to know that the light of Jesus that shines in you, this light, this creative light that God spoke is both glory-filled and is different from darkness. That the light of Jesus in your life will dispel the darkness. Darkness will not overcome it. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2 says this. It declares that the people living in darkness have seen a great light. And that great light you carry in your life, the light of Jesus. John wants to put a name to that light. He says his name is Jesus, and in him is life, and his life was the light of men. Jesus himself declares that I am the light of the world in John chapter 8 and verse 12. He also gives the instruction that to follow his light will bring about his disciples, his followers, experiencing the light of life, both then and now. That light of life, said before, that Greek word that's used to describe life is Zoe, which is the breath of God, the abundance or the superabundant life of God that Jesus speaks about in John chapter 10 and verse 10. I have come that they may have life, and life in all of its fullness. The Hebrew word for that be translated directly from Zoe in Greek into Hebrew is this word ruach, which is the breath of God. The breath of God that blows, the creative force of God. And we read, when the Holy Spirit hovers over the waters of the face of the earth in Genesis chapter 1, it's the ruach of God that's there, this creative force of God, this power of God. So when Jesus comes and says, I want you to have life and life in all of its fullness, when we realize that his life is the life of men, that it's the light that shines the glory of God, the breath of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit into our life and into our situations. That is who and that is what shines in our life. It's the Holy Spirit. It's his, the Zoe of Jesus. It's the Ruach of God, the breath of God, the superabundant life of Jesus in our life that we can call the presence of the Holy Spirit. God's glory resting in your life and shining through your life. That is the light that you display in Jesus. This morning, let me ask you, how light is your life? How light is your life? Have you ever put a lower wattage bulb in your living room lamp? You know, maybe the light that's in your living room, the light goes, and you go rooting for a light bulb to put in it. And instead of that nice 100-watt bulb that's there, all you can find is a 40-watt. And you can't be bothered going to Tesco's at that particular moment in time. Other light bulb purchasers or a place of purchasing light bulbs are also available. And you put that 40-watt bulb into your light in the living room. And for the rest of your life, the rest of your evening, all you say is, man, that's a poor light. Man, that's a rubbish light. Do you get up and do something about it? Probably not. You wait till the next day. You know, but you know the difference, doesn't it? It doesn't shine just quite as brightly. When Heather and I first moved into our first flat, 7 floors up, 37 Court, Linfield Road, Hanley, Stoke-on-Trent, ST1 2BB, you know, it was a room that was probably 3 meters long by 2 meters was our living room. And we had a 5-bulb downlighter illuminating this tiny room. You had to wear sunglasses when you went into our living room. And we thought nothing of it. You know, first house, you just say, yeah, it's a, yeah, my mum and dad's lived in a Victorian property, high roofed, kind of in the west end of Greenock, and you know, one of those situations. They had a big light fitting that was there. So, and my father's son had a big light fitting, only I wasn't in such a bigger room. And we didn't think anything of it till my boss in the Disney store said, you know what, your light's like a beacon. Because he would walk home the same kind of way. He said, and I can know where I'm headed. I can know where I'm going. In fact, he said, probably the plane's coming in from Manchester Airport. Could see what it was, because and at that moment, yeah, it was like a lighthouse that was flooding light out into half of Hanley. Everybody else would be switching the lights off in the living room and saying, you know, from 6th floor down, would be able, I can just cope with what was coming from there. But we're called to shine our light in the darkness so that other people see it. That's what Jesus commissions us to, and what he appoints us to, is to shine brightly. Not to live with a lower wattage bulb, but if anything, to change it for a higher wattage of the light of Jesus that shines in our life. Our flat, our house in Clyde Bank, in the dining room, had a dimmer switch, which meant you could dictate how much light, you know, if you were having a nice romantic meal. I think it happened once. Yeah, that was for Heather, wasn't it? I know. She should have made me more romantic meals, shouldn't she? I'm just kidding. You know, but you could turn the level light, you could turn it down lower, you could turn it upright, really, really bright. What are you doing with the light switch of your faith? Are you turning it down low in situations so people don't know that you, the light of Jesus, is the light of the world, is in your life? Are you turning up full and proud so that everybody knows and everybody can see? I think we're called to live and shine our light bright, shine our light full, and to shine our light into the darkness. Think that God wants us to turn up the light. Think that God wants us to understand the light, and God wants us to display the light, if you like, to see, to study, and to shine. To turn up the light so that we would have a revelation of the light of the world in our life. That we would truly know that Jesus is the light of the world and that his light is in our life. That we would understand the light. That we would find out, what does that mean to have the light of the world in my life? What does it mean that his light will dispel darkness? Where are the places of darkness, and how, Jesus, is your light the antidote to the darkness specifically that's in there? His word will tell us and his word will teach us. And we're called to shine that light, to display it so that everybody, anybody, whether they want to or not, is going to be able to see the light of Jesus through our words and through our actions. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." See, church, you've been called out of darkness and into his wonderful light so that you would be able to display his light, and that darkness has to go. Why? Because the light of Jesus is shining. Every place you go, darkness has to go, because you carry the light of Jesus. But with it, and it keep fit, this verse fits in with what I think what God was wanting to say to us this morning. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. And with that comes responsibilities. You are a holy nation, which means you're different from the rest of the world. The world's standards are not your standards. The way the world sees and the way the world operates is not the way that you're to see and the way that you're to operate. You are a people belonging to God. A people belonging to God. Why? That you may declare the praises of him who called you into his wonderful light. That you know that you're called. You know you've got something to be thankful to God for. And that you declare it. And that you speak it out. And that you live it out. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 says this. "For you were once darkness." Not in darkness, but "you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. That's why it said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk in wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." There's probably about 3 months worth of teaching in that those verses there. But I just want to highlight that Paul wants to say, we were once darkness, now we are light. And the way that we walk and that we live in darkness ultimately is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? That's an ongoing tense, it's an ongoing action that he says there when it says be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, as though he says, keep on being filled and being filled and being filled and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Encourage one another. Almost build that bonfire of light with your praise, that inferno of praise and of thankfulness. Honor Christ. Submit to one another in love. Be accountable to one another. Live with the fruit of the light that is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. There's your homework, church. If you want to shine the light of Jesus in your life, find out what pleases the Lord. Every decision you're going to make, say, "Lord, is this going to please you? If it doesn't, I'm not going to do it. If it does, I will." Man, how simple could our faith be? How many potholes and pitfalls could we be avoided if we said, "Lord, is this going to please you?" I think even I could get that. Some of you laugh too much. Ephesians 5 and 8 says, walk or live, as the NIV says, walk or live as children of the light. You know, not enough light can affect people's health, their mood, and their character. What's called the seasonal affective disorder or the SAD disorder. I had a lady in one of my churches that really suffered from that. And in the winter months, she was really down. And so she made some changes, expensive changes and alterations to her house. She found where her house was going to get the most sunlight coming in. And in her living room, she arranged for a builder to come and to put a new window. In fact, the window came in the corner of the house. Two new windows in that would allow more sunlight to come in. Why? Because she knew that if she didn't get as much light into her life as possible, that it was going to affect her mood and her character. And I know for some of us that might sound really, really strange and really kind of different, but this worked for this lady. So she made plans to be different. She said, I'm not going to accept how things have been. Isn't going to how it's going to have to be. I'm going to pay the price to let more light into my life and into my living space. I'm going to rearrange the stuff of my life to enable me to experience this. I wonder spiritually what might need to change in our lives. Is there anything expense-wise that we would have to be undertaking, the cost of discipleship, we would call it, the cost of following Jesus, to rearrange the things of our life and the living space so that we would let more and more and more of His light into our life? Not enough light can also affect your autoimmune system. You know, your ability to fight off disease and infection because, you know, sunlight gives you a vitamin. Which vitamin is it? Is it D? Vitamin D, yep, it does. Good, you're still awake. Well done. And you know, what's true in the natural is true in the spiritual. Living in the light of Jesus is going to positively affect your character. It's going to positively affect your ability to overcome darkness and the disease of sin. It sounds really easy, doesn't it? But living in the light is going to ensure that your character becomes more and more like Jesus. How does Paul describe it? Being changed from glory into glory. When the glory of God shines, darkness vanishes. We read about it in the accounts of the nativity and the birth of Jesus. You know, when those angels appear and the glory of God shines all around. We had a little bit of it on Thursday night at Holy Corner, didn't we? When the angel of the Lord shone with the open-air nativity. Made the evening news. But the glory of God shines. We had orchestrated it with some nifty lights and some smoke machines and stuff like that. But when God organizes it, when His glory truly does shine, we read about it in Scripture, that people are overcome, that people are different, that people are changed. And His glory wants to shine through your life. We need to live in the light. Darkness can't engulf light. Light dispels darkness. The Amplified Bible says in verse 5 in John chapter 1 that the light shines on in the darkness. Doesn't just shine in the darkness. The light shines on in the darkness. For the darkness has never overpowered it. This verse is a verse for somebody in this place this morning who thinks that darkness engulfs them and who thinks that they cannot get out and that they're a miserable Christian because they keep on failing and failing and failing. Let me tell you, the light shines on in the darkness and the darkness has never overpowered it. The light of the gospel cannot be put out. You keep shining, you keep burning. It cannot be put out. Darkness cannot absorb it. Darkness is not unreceptive to it, is receptive to light. The New King James Version says this, that darkness did not comprehend it. I.e., darkness did not physically overcome it. Darkness did not mentally overcome it. Darkness did not extinguish and overcome it. Darkness cannot win. Therefore, glory-filled light means an overcoming life in Jesus. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23, we read of the new earth where there is no sun and there is no moon, for the glory of God gives it light and the Lamb is its lamp. Who's the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world? It's Jesus. So when the new earth comes in Revelation, no sun, no moon, the glory of God illuminates the whole of the world and the Lamb of God, Jesus, is its lamp. Darkness does not win then, does not win now. The light of the world always wins. In your situation, darkness cannot win. When you set your feet moving into your week, all that you face, all the darkness that wants to come against you, it cannot win. The light of the world always wins. So what about us? How are we to live? Well, John tells us that John the Baptist gives this insight that he's a witness to testify concerning the light. We read about it from verse 6 on. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all men might believe. It's both a calling and it's a commission. It is to every man, to everyone who hears, that the light, that is Jesus, was coming from heaven to earth. That Jesus comes, it's both intentional and comes with a purpose. He comes to bring light to the world's darkness. He comes to bring light to your darkness. The darkness of sin is overcome by the power of the cross. He came to enable you to walk in the light and to shine his light. Jesus turns to disciples in Matthew chapter 5. And he says these words in Matthew 5 and verse 13. Says, you're the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put light in a lamp, put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it in a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The challenge is to let the light of the world shine, and let the light of the world shine in our deeds, in the words, in our activities of our life, in the things that we do, and in who we are, that they would see something of God in us. Why? Because it is the light of the world shining into the darkness. And the challenge is to connect his deity to your deeds, to dispel their darkness. His deity in your deeds, dispelling their darkness. Who do you know that lives and dwells in darkness, that needs to see a great light, that needs to experience the true light? At around 3 o'clock today, a switch is going to get flicked, isn't it? And all of a sudden, street lights are going to come on. It's an action based on timing and on a decision that's made. We have a choice to flick the switch, if you like, that God switch in our life that lets the light of the world of Jesus shine through us, that does not hide it under a bowl but puts it on a stand, that lets the darkness be banished because his light shines through our life. We've got that choice to make every day and every moment of our life to let his light shine. That's what we're called to. That's our purpose in life, is to experience his light and to let his light shine. Whether you feel as though you're a star in the universe or a little firefly that's burning, the darkness goes when you shine for Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you want to shine and dispel darkness. Jesus, I thank you that you're the light of the world. Jesus, as we consider the fact that you said to your disciples and you say to us that we are the light of the world because you are in us and you shine through us. Lord, that is a phenomenal, phenomenal statement to make. Lord, in of ourselves, we probably don't feel as though we could live up to that. But Father, I thank you that you enable us and you equip us to shine and to shine brightly. Lord, I pray that in our lives right now, that we would be changing the bulb of our life for a bright bulb to shine brightly. Lord, that there might be multiple bulbs of your light shining in our life, like those the light that used to shine at our flat window. That, Father, if there's a dimmer switch in our life, that we are turning it up full, that we are going to keep it burning bright. That, Lord, through our actions, through our deeds, through our words that are both natural and supernatural, Lord, that we would see your glory resting on us, that we would see your light shining through us, that we would see people living in darkness experiencing your light. Father, there are so many different ways that we can do it. But Lord, the simplest way is to find out what pleases you. So Lord, help us this week to please you. Help us this week, as Paul encourages us, to be being filled with your Holy Spirit, to have your power in our life, to shine the light of Jesus and of his love. Father, I pray it and I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Worship team, would you like to join us?